Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, if you take advantage of all the grants on offer to insulate your home and install renewable energy generation, you can make dramatic savings on your heating bills. But it's a complicated and sometimes onerous process, especially the paperwork. It even was for Paul Dean, who lectures in clean energy futures at UCC. Paul managed to bring his home in Cork from a G rating all the way up to an A. Paul, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Could you start by describing the house when you bought it? It was a G, and as far as I understand, there's no lower grade than that.
Yeah, you're kind of running out of options, really, when you get to G in terms of your energy efficiency. It doesn't get much worse. Look, I suppose like many people out there, I was looking around to buy my first house for a long time, turning up to house viewings, to bidding auctions, and always being outbid. And I suppose, look, I didn't really have the budget to move into a kind of a cozy, modern new house. So I kept my eye open for rural properties that were available within the locality. I lived down in West Cork, and look, thankfully, I was lucky enough to be able to purchase a small house, about 70 square metres. And look, it was, I suppose, a traditional kind of Irish house, or nearly a cottage, what we call it now, Sean. Two bedroom, two stories. But in not in great condition. Look, there was a lady living there before me. I'd say she was an awful lot hardy than what I am or what I will ever be. But it was kind of cold. It was damp. There was a lot of condensation. It was very dark. So, look, it wasn't the type of house that you would have moved into straight away. It's something that certainly needed a lot of love and needed a lot of money poured into it.
Yeah, and no central heating or double glazing or anything like that.
No, the windows were kind of porous. You know, there was wind coming in and out, I suppose, through the windows. And look, there was an old fireplace there that was on coal and one of these old back boilers. That was the only heating system in the place. And that would have done, I suppose, back in the day, that would have done the water and all the, would have heated the water and heated the radiators. But really, it would have required, a huge amount of fuel to be thrown into that fire to bring the house standing warm. Because look, any heat in the house would have just gone straight out through the walls, through the roof, and through the window. So it certainly needed a bit of work. Now, to be honest, Sean, when I got the house originally, look, you're like many people out there. You spend so much stress, I suppose, and anxiety in trying to buy a house. And when you get a house, then you start to think about the next options. I suppose I could have moved in there with the kids. I have two small kids, but it would have been very difficult. It would have been very expensive. It would have been very cold. And certainly not the right option at all for someone who wants kind of a reasonable level of living.
Yeah, and did you consider it all at that point? Because, it's a lot of work to get it up to spec from a sustainability point of view. Did you consider just knocking it down and building something there on the site?
Yeah, it was funny, actually. A couple of builders suggested that. They said, look, the best thing now for that house is a shovel. But in many ways, these old houses, it's more than a house. There's a story. There's a culture. There's traditions that go with that. So I really kind of fell in love with the house. It's kind of, a lot of these rural houses, Sean, they'll never be built again. You don't see them like this anymore. The walls are about a meter thick in places. All the walls are kind of crooked and windy. The ceilings are low. So it has a lot of character. I remember when I went to look at it with the estate agent, he said, look, this has got a lot of potential. Now, potential is kind of shorthand, I think, for a money pit when it comes to houses. But I fell in love with it. And look, to be honest, I'm glad that I stuck with it. But building a house from scratch is just eye-wateringly expensive as well. So it would have cost me an awful lot more if I didn't have the budget. So, look, I went down the route of the retrofitting and the refurbishing grant.
Yeah. Now, And that involves a lot of physical labour, but oftentimes it seems like the paperwork is just as onerous. If we could run through that. Now, the SEAI grants you got, what specifically do you get it for? Does it have to be, we're giving you this amount of money for this amount of money for that, and they keep a close eye on what you're doing with the money?
Exactly. And look, I took the easy option for the SEAI grant. There's an option kind of, I suppose it's kind of a top tier option, if you will, Sean, for the SEAI grant. They're the folks who look after the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland. And there's very generous grants out there. So I went for what's called a one-stop shop service, which essentially means you outsource all the project management and all the paperwork to an external company. They fill in all the forms. They deal with the SEAI, making sure all the documentation is in place. And essentially all I had to do for that one was just sign my signature. And what that covered for me then, Sean, was you know, replacing the old single glazed windows with triple glazed windows, you know, triple glazed doors, external insulation. So the house is wrapped in a kind of a blanket of insulation on the outside. And that was handy for me, Sean, because the house inside is very small. So that would have taken up space inside. It insulated the roof, provided a brand new heating system. So out went the coal-fired the coal fireplace, and in came a brand new electrical heat pump that heats the house and heats the water, new radiators, new ventilation system. So it was very much a kind of, I suppose, the house kind of dragged, kicking and screaming into the 21st century. And what that allowed me to do then, Sean, was, I suppose, have a level of heating technology and comfort in the house that I wouldn't have had before. And that grant came to about, the grant assistance from SEI, it was roughly around 30,000 euros, which was, you know, a huge chunk of money and something that I wouldn't have been able to afford otherwise without that grant.
Yeah. Now, then, in addition to that, then there's the vacant property grant, which kind of, you know, it is for, I suppose, modernising a house if it's been vacant for more than 2 years. Now, is that more detailed and kind of pernickety? You're only allowed to spend a certain amount of money on certain parts of the house.
Yeah, look, there's certainly a bit more paperwork to the vacant property grant, and there's a couple of more clauses. I did it myself because there's not that I'm aware of now, Sean, but I think there's no external company that looks after this for you. So you kind of, you know, take the plunge and do the paperwork yourself. Now, I'm lucky. Look, I work in university. I'm used to paperwork and form filling. It's one of the very few things I'm actually good at in life, probably, but I was able to deal with it. And what that does then is that it allows you, I suppose, to look after the internal of the house. You know, I had a lovely house now at this stage with nice windows and heating system, but I had no bathroom, I had no kitchen. The house had to be replumbed, rewired, you know, stud walls had to be put in, it had to be decorated, and floors had to be put down. So the vacant property grant covers all that. And the first kind of test to get that grant is that the property must be vacant for a minimum of 2 years. So you have to get onto the ESB with your meter number, you tell them what you want to do, and they send you back a letter saying that the house is vacant. They look at the electricity usage, and that essentially opens up the floodgate. Then you've got to get quotes from builders. Look, all the builders must be registered, they must be insured. You can't get, you know, local tradespeople to help you out if they're not registered. Now, you can get them to help you out, but the council and the vacant property grant, Sean, it pays for materials associated with your own work, but it won't pay for your own time, and it won't pay for the time of unregistered contractors. It will pay for the time of registered contractors, which is fair enough. So look, you get all that paperwork together, you send it in, they come out and inspect it, and then the works have to be done. Now, the tricky thing, I suppose, you have to vouch for all these expenses up front. So I put 50k on the table, pay for it up front, and you get it back after the works are done, and after the council are happy that the works have been completed to the required standards.
But it's for instance, there's a limit on how much you can spend on the kitchen with 7 grand.
Yeah, there's a limit on lots of things, actually. And I suppose that's to try and make sure that, you know, I suppose, and I get it, I suppose they don't want a level of opulence that's extreme within a certain house. You know, they want to cover kind of a, I suppose, relatively modest living condition. And look, 7 grand will go an awful long way to looking after a kitchen. And there's kind of limits as well for the bathroom. So, again, if you go into this thing, there's the forms are available online. And once you go into it with your eyes open, you can plan and you can kind of budget accordingly. But to be honest, Sean, I found that, you know, for a modest level of fitting out in the interior, the vacant property grant was great. As I said, look, it allowed me to put in a modern kitchen. I had no kitchen of kind of any substance in the house, you know, a good bathroom, a bit of decorating paint and stuff like that, internal plastering. So it does allow you, I suppose, to kind of dream a little bit bigger beyond the SEI grant. And the tricky condition there as well, Sean, is that you can't use the 2 grants in direct combination, that the works must be distinct and separate. So that means, for example, if there's a shortfall on your SEI grant, you can't use the vacant property grant to make up that shortfall. The works have to be separate and distinct. So once you get the paperwork sorted out and keep them, you know, do what they ask you to do and submit the forms that they require, the process for me and was very smooth, and I'm very thankful for it.
Yeah, and also and I assume this is for the vacant property grant. If you sell it or within the next 10 years, do you have to give all the grant back to them?
Yeah, so here's the thing. Look, like all good things in life, a solicitor has to sneak in there somewhere, and lawyers are required to kind of look after all these things. So even when you think you're done and dusted with builders, you need to get solicitors and your lawyer to look at things. And there is what they call a clawback series. Now, this is a clawback clause within the contract. And essentially this means, Sean, that if the council giving you 50,000 to do up your property and you sell it tomorrow, you can't just pocket that 50K. They will take a certain portion of it back between the first year and the 10th year. So if you sell it if I sell my house in 15 years' time, that's fine. I don't owe the council anything. But if I sell my house tomorrow, I've pretty much got to give the full 50,000 back. And I suppose that's kind of the safety net, just to make sure that people aren't taking opportunist bids on the vacant property grant and flipping the property straight away. So a bit of legal work and a bit of paperwork. And again, what they do is they just put a charge on the deeds of your property. You must own the house, of course. But again, look, this house will probably see me out for the rest of my life, so I've no plans to sell it anytime soon.
Yeah. Now, and you got the rating up from a G to an A, which is extremely impressive.
It is actually. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, what's the difference, say, or what is the factor that makes a difference, say, between a B and an A? I'm asking you a very self-interested question here in terms of you have the double glazing, you got the insulation. Is it the heat pump that brings it up to an A?
To be honest, I don't know the specifics of where that kind of boundaries lie, because my previous experience, Sean, was always living in rented accommodation that would be kind of G and D rated houses. So I have a lifetime of experience of dealing with very hard living conditions. But when I did move into the house on the first couple of weeks, I just couldn't believe it. Just the level of comfort to have a house that isn't, there isn't condensation going down the windows, there's no drafts coming in. The heating bills are very modest, very manageable. The thing, I suppose, that impressed me most was just the level of well-being within the house. Just to have a house, that's well ventilated, that it's mechanically and deliberately ventilated. That means that the air is never stale inside the house. There's fresh air. Dust and stuff and odors and smells are removed. And that was a level of comfort, I suppose, that I wasn't expecting. Just that you feel good in the house. It's what I would count as a very healthy house. So whether it's the heat pump or the insulation, they all seem to work very well together. And I suppose the other thing, I suppose, from a well-being perspective, coming into this winter now, for example, I'm not worried about, large heating bills for oil or for gas or whatever, because the amount of electricity that the heat pump uses is very small, because so little heat is actually leaking out of the house because it's so well insulated, Sean.
Yeah, and you're yet to get the solar panels.
Yeah, solar I left off till the very end. I suppose, I ran out of cash towards the end, and it was kind of coming towards winter. I set the house up to make it future-proof for solar. But really the advice that I got, Sean, was, okay, if you're to spend money on an old house, and I think this is a good advice, spend the money where it's needed most. That is just making sure that there is as little heat leaking out of the house as possible. And then once you've that looked after and you've it draft-proofed and correctly ventilated, then start to go on and look at things like solar. So look, the plan for next year is, once take a bit of rest, is kind of look at the look at solar, and that will probably drive it up to maybe an A1 rated home, which is an incredible turnaround from the bottom of the league, I suppose, the top of the table in terms of the energy use that is needed.
Indeed. Dr. Paul Dean is a senior lecturer in clean energy futures at University College Cork. Paul, thanks very much.
Thanks, Sean.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.